Hey everybody, the Air Raid Podcast is now sponsored by the American Brewing Company in Edmonds, Washington. They're one of the fastest growing microbreweries in the Northwest, featuring the extremely talented brewmaster Skip Madsen. His breakaway IPA has become their number one bestseller. Stop by and find out why. You will not be disappointed. American Brewing Company, drink domestic, buy American.
You know, just because I'm unemployed doesn't mean I don't work hard, okay? Rockin' ain't no walk in the park, motherfucker.
Well, hello and welcome.
Oh, hey.
To the show that is no walk in the park.
No, I'm just kidding.
This is the Air Raid Podcast, everybody.
It's gonna hurt a lot of
episode it. 66.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn out series.
Oh yeah, I like this idea.
I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
I will eat your babies, bitch.
And of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Oh man, we've got a great show for you today. Step one in the process of getting Aaron healthy, Operation Getting Aaron Healthy, has taken a slip backwards, a big slip backwards. It's like on a rainy grassy hill that has turned into mud that you're walking up in Vans or in Converse All Stars. And you lose your footing and just slide all the way back down to the hill. Of course, I'm talking about because for breakfast this morning I ate leftover chicken teriyaki.
No, Kelly Clarkson.
The breakfast of champions. And man, I am just into self-sabotage, man. Self-sabotage. Of course, I'm riding my bike to the transit center here in Seattle in the morning at like 5:30 a.m. And, you know, you'd think that I'd be a little bit healthier now, but no, because I have actually increased my intake in crappy food. So that's great. That's absolutely wonderful.
God, dang it, man.
Dang it. It's gonna be a good show though. We're gonna make it a good show, even though I'm you know, living this slovenly lifestyle here in the dining room studios. We've got a great guest for you today. The band Sea Pony will be joining us shortly. Be coming here to dining room studios in the beautiful Greenwood neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. We'll be talking with them in a little bit. But like I said, yeah, I'm riding my bike. You know, and in the last episode, episode 66, with Shelby Earl, by the way, that is her real name, I spoke a little bit about how I love this type of season. I just absolutely love it when it gets a little gray out, you know, and allows for your weekends to be full of horror movies and football. I love it. I absolutely enjoy it. I enjoy this part of the season. However, I think I may have spoke too soon because now I'm riding my bike in the rain most of the time and just, you know, totally soaking wet because I work outside. I'm now totally soaking wet all day. So I'm reneging on my statement that I love this season because I've never had to really ride my bike in it. And now it's terrible. The last couple days, man, I get to the bus and I'm just soaking wet. I get to, you know, get to my office and I'm still pretty damp. And then I go back outside into the rain. And once again, I'm totally soaking wet. So for the full day, I get home and I smell like a moldy sponge almost because it's just, I'm just wet. I smell like a wet dog. Anyway. I was riding my bike home from the transit center just the other day, and got a phone call while I was listening to a podcast on my ride home, and got a phone call, and I didn't recognize the number. And yes, I'm that good of a bike rider. I can check my phone and look at the phone number while riding. And actually, almost got into an accident. I almost plowed right into the back of a car, which probably wasn't a smart thing. So I got over to the sidewalk and answered the phone call because I didn't recognize the number. I thought it might be concerning the show, and answer it. And it's this recorded message saying that my card, my bank card, they even used the words Wells Fargo, said they were from Wells Fargo, and my card has been canceled. And I'm like, what? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I still have some monies in my bank account. There is no reason to cancel my card. Anyway, I just kind of hung up on it because I was like, well, I can't deal with that right now. I need to go home. And so, let's see. When I got home, you know, I had to go pick up the kid from daycare, and then. So on the way, kind of stopped and got some gas, used my card. My card worked fine. And then called the bank and asked them what's the deal. And they said, no, your card's not canceled. So it was basically, it was a scam. And they called me on the phone. It was, so like the rest of the message is like, you know, type in your card number or whatever. And to reactivate the card, you know. What the shit, dude? That's scary, man. That is some scary stuff. I don't know, have any of you guys experienced that? Have you guys gotten phone calls of recorded messages from you know, quote unquote your bank, saying that your card has been canceled? That's scary, man. That's like that's some next level shit right there. I mean, these guys are getting they're getting crazy. I mean, no longer is it the you're not, you know, I haven't gotten an email like this for a long time, but the scam from like a Nigerian prince wants to put his money in your bank, and for that he's going to give you a lump sum, or you've won a Canadian lottery or something like that. You know, they're not doing that anymore. Now they're calling your frickin' phone, man. That's some scary stuff. Because, like, I could totally see somebody totally falling for that. I guess if it keeps on going on like that, and the more that people, like, experience it. Because, let's be serious here. If, like, your card gets canceled, it's probably not going to be, like, a recorded message asking you to put your card number in, right? It's going to be somebody. There's going to be, like, a real person on the other line. Probably from India. And, yeah. So, that kind of freaked me out, though. That freaked me out. Yeah, I mean, they're getting creative here, man. Wow. God, I wonder how many people have fallen for that crap. I don't know. Maybe I should call my bank back again and inquire about it. Cause I guess what I called the bank about my check card. Maybe I should call about my credit card. I don't know. I haven't used my credit card yet. I don't know. Whatever. God damn it. People are always trying to get you. They're always just out to get you, man. Freaks me out. It freaks me out. Another thing that freaks me out is the coming zombie apocalypse. That kind of freaks me out. I watched it really cool. You guys should go on to Netflix if you're a zombie fan, because Walking Dead is the next season of Walking Dead is coming out on. I think it airs October 16th. And I am really, really looking forward to that. I love me some zombies. I know you guys know this. If you've been listening for any amount of time, I do. I really enjoy zombie movies and anything that has to do with zombies. I think they did a great job with The Walking Dead. Although it took me a little while to get into the first season because some of the acting wasn't that great. But it turned into a fantastic show. It really did. Really did. And so I'm looking forward to this next season starting on October 16th on what channel is that? Is that AMC? I think it's AMC. But yeah, it's going to be good, man. And so last night, kind of to prepare myself mentally for more Walking Dead. I kind of had a zombie fix that I needed to attend to last night, and I watched this this documentary on what was it? Zombie Mania. It's called Zombie Mania, and it was pretty cool, man. They had a bunch of interviews with like George Romero. George Romero, of course, is the director and creator of like Dawn of the Dead, and then Land of the Dead and Day of the Dead, and you know all those movies, which progressively got cheesier and cheesier. But it was really interesting to watch that too, because you know, like Dawn of the Dead was created, was filmed back in the 60s for like literally like $6,000. And I mean, was a very, very, it was very well shot. And, they did something on there, which when I first saw that movie, didn't even really think about, but, because I was pretty young and, you know, this movie came out in the 60s and their leading man in the leading role was played by a black man. And that was something that had never really been done before, especially because, the black man was giving orders to, you know, this whole house full of white people. You know, he was the head guy. And, I guess what happened was they had this role, and everybody that they tested for this main role, wasn't a good enough actor. Like they just didn't have that spark, you know? And so their friend, this guy, I don't even know his name, you know, stepped up to the role, and they didn't change anything because he was their friend, you know, and whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. And he played this role, and he played it really, really well. And so that was it became this big political statement that they didn't really set out to do. They didn't really set out to make a political movie. They set out to make a horror movie about flesh eaters, is what Romero called it. He didn't think it was zombies, right? He didn't call them zombies. He called it... And actually, that was the name of the movie. It was supposed to be Dawn of the Flesh Eaters, not Dawn of the Dead, right? But the people who eventually got their hands on it, they changed the title. I just thought it was really interesting. So you guys should go. It's streaming on Netflix right now, Zombie Mania, and you should check that out because it's really, really interesting. And if you're into like the gory, you know, over the top kind of zombie flick and stuff, it's got some great stuff in there. So I really recommend that. And then after that, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I thought it was a good idea to go ahead and watch of Land of the Dead, which is Romero's latest movie that came out in the same vein as like. You know, the kind of the Dawn of the Dead remake and Day of the Dead and stuff like that. So it was okay, I guess. I don't know. I was expecting worse. It was pretty bad, though, to tell you the truth. To be serious about this, I guess it was it wasn't that great. But entertaining, you know, takes place on an island and with like it's supposed to be in Delaware, and like everybody kind of has an Irish accent almost, which kind of threw me for a loop there. But it was all right. Yeah, check that one out too if you want. You might want to drink some beers while you're watching it, because like I said, it's not that great. It's not that great. There's no nudity in it, which they easily could have put in there. Easily could have inserted some nudity into that flick, you know, because that's what really makes like a horror movie. There's got to be some nudity in there too, you know. I'm just gonna put that out there. I want to be real with you guys. I want to let you know where I'm coming from, and I like some nudity in my horror movies. So there you go. There you have it. Anyway. We are, let's see, Sea Pony, band Sea Pony, going to be coming up here in a bit. We're going to play something off their new album. I think this is the album that's, it was released the May 31st, 2011, off of Hardly Art Records. I think they're based here in Seattle, I think so. Maybe they're Portland. I don't know. Let's see. Let's check it, shall we? Yeah, they are. They're here in Seattle. Hardly Art. They've got a bunch of really cool bands on here too. I'm sorry. This is very, very interesting. Me, you know, this is what this show has kind of devolved. Is it devolved? De-evolved? I don't know. Whatever. This is what it's turned into, is me looking on the internet at stuff and just telling you what I'm looking at. But they've got quite the lineup here. Duchess and the Duke, which are no longer a band, but they were super good. Carissa's Weird, of course. Hunks and His Punks, which I think we've featured on this show before. Sea Pony, who's coming up, and the Moondoggies and stuff. Bunch of cool bands on here. So yeah, you guys check that out. Hardlyart.com. And Sea Pony, you can get them. Seapony.bandcamp.com, or they have a Facebook page and stuff like that. Their latest album is called Go With Me, and this song is called Dreaming. And we're going to be talking with them here in just a moment when we get back. And they're going to be playing a show here coming up. Let's see. October 21st, the Moore Theater. I believe they are playing with Built to Spill. That's pretty rad, right? They're opening up for Built to Spill. That's fantastic. Maybe we'll talk to them, see how excited they are about that. All right, this song is called Dreaming, off of Go With Me with Sea Pony. And when we get back, we will have more of the Air Raid Podcast for you, the listener. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. All right, we are back, and joining me in Dining Room Studios is the band Sea Pony, or two parts of the band Sea Pony, Jen and Danny. Thank you guys so much for coming to the Greenwood neighborhood.
No problem.
Yeah, the ghetto, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
Does it look pretty ghetto out there?
It does.
I had just before you guys got here, I had a bit of an experience with a neighbor. I heard a car pull up, and I thought it might be you guys. So what I do, because I'm kind of a hermit, is I'll go to the window and just stare, you know, down on the road and see who's coming. And then I saw this family got out of their car, and this little girl got out of the car, and she just dropped like this giant like plastic cup onto the ground. And let me know what you guys think. So I opened up the window and go, hey. You know, pick up, don't leave that trash there. And then instantly her dad, like, comes around the car and says, we'll take care of the trash. You don't talk to my daughter like that. You know, and then I was like, oh, okay, this is going into a going down an avenue that I don't want to go down, and I just kind of stepped away from the window. Do you think I was in the right though? Like they were littering.
It's hard to say. I mean, I might have got angry too if I had a kid, and it just depends on if he had planned on picking that trash up.
I don't think he did though, because she picked up the cup, she left the giant straw.
Oh,
you know.
Well, you probably should have went down and fought him.
Yeah, he would have kicked my ass. He totally would have beat the shit out of me. So, I was a little bit nervous too, because like this is the most wrinkly shirt that I've ever worn, I think, in my life. Yeah. And so I apologize. Have you ever seen a shirt that's more wrinkly than the one that I'm wearing right now? Like this always happens. It says non-wrinkle on the collar. And that's possibly one of the biggest lies perpetrated on the American people, I think, is the non-wrinkle fabric. I think it's bullshit. Anyway, let's talk about you guys a little bit. Before we started recording, you guys said that you've only been a band for about a year.
How long has it been?
Since last June.
Last June?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have been doing pretty well, right?
Yeah, well, we kind of lucked out. We were just in the right place at the right time, pretty much.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? Like just knowing some people that are like in the industry, or like you guys build a show with some other bands that had some pull here in town or something like that?
Well, our first show that we ever played was opening for La Sera, and Ruben from Hardly Art was there.
Oh, nice.
So it was just like chance, because La Sera's on Hardly Art. And so he saw us and liked us. And I mean, if we never played that show, who knows?
Yeah, we wouldn't have put a record out, I'm pretty sure.
Well, what was, because you said you had a single before you guys did this full length album.
Oh yeah.
Right. What was it? Was that on Hardly Art?
No, that was something. Well, I mean, I guess that was. It was a small label, so like a limited run, 300. Uh-huh. It was that song, Dreaming, and
yeah,
Solo and Late Summer, and that's the one that wasn't on the album.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe we. It's hard to say, I guess, but.
Well, how long had you guys been playing before you did that show where Ruben was there?
Well, that show was in November.
So yeah.
June, November.
Just last November.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it wouldn't be this November because we're not in November yet.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That'd be really
weird.
Yeah. Science.
If it's in the future.
But that was our first playing out. We kind of practiced a little bit, like
yeah
a couple of months,
and he just heard you guys and like thought that there was something there. Or I mean, were you guys would you say your that show was fairly tight, and you guys were had some songs together and everything? Or
I don't think we did a pretty good job, I guess, but I don't think we were tight by any means. False starts.
And yeah.
there wasn't there either. And so we were using a drum machine. So it was just maybe a little bit different than seeing a usual band. So maybe that was kind of something that sparked his interest, he didn't think we were from. He thought we were from somewhere else. And I think he thought we were from another country.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like some Brit, some Brit pop group.
Yeah. I think so. kind of sound like that.
So maybe that helped you out a little bit, right? Because he was like, "Oh yeah, these guys are good. They're from England."
I don't know what he liked.
Well, he obviously saw something in you guys, because then you got did. How long was it before you guys got signed to Hardly Art before or after that show?
It wasn't long, was it?
Nah, we just a little email exchange, and then maybe a couple of months before it was all settled.
Uh-huh.
And everything. So it was pretty quick from the time that we started playing out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of crazy because our first show when we got a record deal, to me, that still seems crazy to me.
Well, that's insane. That's it. Yeah. That seems crazy to me too.
So that was like, just saying like, and we were just lucky. So, I mean,
yeah, yeah.
It we've been playing music for a long time. So, and nothing.
Well, had you guys, so did you guys play together before this project, or?
Yeah, I think I've been in like five bands,
Always as a singer or guitar player?
Oh, no, usually like bass player. I was a guitar player and bass player.
Ooh, chick bass player, yeah.
But I've never owned a bass. I'd always just borrow. Always had to borrow. Bases,
yeah, yeah. And, yeah. Right. What other bands were you in before this? Before Sea Pony?
Oh,
a bunch that you've never heard of.
Jim was in the Melvins.
Oh yeah. Tiger Trap.
Yeah. I was a lead singer of Soundgarden. So like the Vantage was the name of a band that we were in. That's how we met, because I joined this band.
Uh-huh.
Which kind of sounded like a sissified version of the Killers.
You think so? I don't know what it sounded like.
To me, it was like, I don't know.
So it's kind of in the same vein as like almost like the Strokes a little bit, or like, I guess.
I would say it was kind of Strokes-ish.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, play in a band. And so I joined as the drummer. And Jen was in the band.
Uh-huh.
Basing it up.
Just ripping shit apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you guys originally start playing music then? What led you? First of all, what do you play, Danny?
The melodica and Sea Pony guitar.
Okay. Okay.
Lead guitar.
Gotcha, gotcha. And you play guitar as well, Jen, and sing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so where did you guys kind of get your start? Let's go back to the beginning here. Like, were your parents musical at all, or?
No, I wanted to start playing guitar when I was 10.
Uh huh.
And my parents were like, "You're too young, and
too young.
I don't think you'll like it, and all this stuff." And I was like, "Yes, I will." So I like saved up my babysitting money and got a guitar.
Nice, nice. Like one of the, what'd you get? Like an acoustic, or did you get your first?
No, I got a Samick, like Telecaster.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was like a $200 electric guitar.
Yeah, I think it's like a $100.
Oh really?
Like one of those super little crate practice amps.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, I think I had like the first little amp that I ever got was like this little PV Bandit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it had like the chorus switch on there and stuff, and
nice.
Just a piece of crap. And I kept that thing like, cause I think I got my first guitar when I was like 13 years old or something like that, mm-hmm. and had that. And I had that one amp until like, even when I was playing in some of my bands in college, like I was still using that, and we'd have to mic this shitty little PV Bandit. And it was just terrible. And it sounded so bad. I mean, those things, there's no way to make those things sound good. Like, that is not, you don't get a good lo-fi sound out of an amp like that.
No.
It's just crap.
Total crap.
Yeah, yeah. So my parents did the same thing to me too, though.
They
like
did.
when I wanted to start playing guitar, I was probably a little bit older, like around like maybe 12 or 13, I think. And yeah, my dad, he was like, "No, we're not going to spend money on that because you're just gonna
play
around with it for like 2 days and then just leave it in the corner."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, was that the same story with you too, Danny, or were your parents musical? Did they kind of force you into it, or was it something that you wanted to do?
It was sort of similar, but my dad played music. He had a guitar, and he made up some songs back when he was younger and stuff, and he would strum around, and I would mess with his guitar some, but I wanted my own. I wanted an electric, and I think kind of the same thing. He didn't want to spend a bunch of money.
Right, right.
And he thought I was just going through a phase. And so he did buy me an electric, and it was called a Rockster. So I can top...
A Rockster?
Yeah, I'm going to top you guys in crappiness. It was a Rockster.
Yeah.
And it had... I think he... Well, I don't know where he got it, but I've never seen another one. But
it's like one of those things. Did it have like a built-in amp on it?
No.
Oh, okay.
The strings, you know, were really high.
Yeah, yeah.
Off of the fretboard, the action sucked. It doesn't have a steel reinforced rod through the neck.
Right.
So it won't stay in tune.
Uh huh.
And it had a picture of like this fist smashing through a brick wall.
It came with that on it.
Yeah, that was like painted on it, but it was really nicely done, and like, you know, it was finished over. And
right, right.
That, and then he got me an amplifier, which this was something that somebody made because it was like the top was a bullhorn, and on the bottom was like this little, you know, the amplification unit that. I don't know. It came off some other piece of equipment.
Right,
but
right.
It was, you know, because the wires were from, they were just, you know, you can see some, they just wrapped the wires.
Right, right,
one,
yeah.
From one to the other.
A lot of electrical tape sticking out.
And it, yeah, it just didn't, I mean, it, you know, it made a sound.
Right, right.
That sounded
like a
guitar.
So wait, it was like somebody actually like took apart a bullhorn and then.
It was pieced together.
Right, right.
But I did get a crate later on because I kept playing it for like a year or something. Then I got a Squire.
Right,
and then a crate.
Your first Fender.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a Fender guy now?
I'm a Fender guy.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. I've always loved Fender guitars and like got into a brief period in my life. Well, actually, it wasn't very brief. It was about 5 years. But where I was... on eBay every day looking for vintage 60s Fender guitars and buying them and, you know, losing a lot of money over this like guitar, like, I don't know. It was almost like a heroin addiction. It was really sad. It was really bad. I went into a dark place. But they definitely have a great sound. And they're not as heavy as like a Les Paul.
Yeah, that's too. The thing I don't like about Gibsons. Well, about the Les Paul is it's just really heavy. Yeah. And then I guess it's just maybe I'm used to it, but the tone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's got that like a lot of the Fender guitars have a good like kind of surf tone. And when you put some like reverb behind some of that stuff, I mean, that's it's perfect for what you guys are doing now.
Yeah, it works pretty good.
Yeah. What do you play now, Jen?
I have a...
A Rockster? Do you have a Rockster?
I wish. No, I have a vintage Silvertone.
Oh, nice.
And I pretty much got it because I thought it looked cool, and it's kind of smaller.
Yeah.
So it doesn't hurt my shoulder when I hold it
for a
long time.
Yeah, yeah.
We were looking for something lightweight.
Yeah, it's lightweight, and I liked how it looked. And
yeah.
I mean, it sounds all right.
I like how it sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, it plays really well.
I mean, it doesn't sound... Yeah, it feels really good. It doesn't sound like, you know, Danny's Fender. Like,
well, it's amazing that those guitars, too, came out of, like, a Sears catalog.
Yeah.
You know?
Silvertones, if they even make anything, I know it went downhill. And because Silvertones were the... You could get them when I was looking for them when I was younger, and they were the crappy ones. But
right.
But they were quality back
in the day. Yeah. Well, they have a distinctive tone too. Like, you know, they have the old lipstick tube pickups and stuff like that. And definitely, I mean, Beck used a Silvertone for a long time. And you can get a lot of crazy sounds out of those things too. Because they're very, I don't know. There's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? They're loud. They're loud pickups, and they pick up a lot of noise. And when you're doing like something like, you know, going for like a lo-fi sound and stuff, that's a good guitar to get that sound out of, you know.
We usually just use mine on the recording, so.
Oh, really?
Because it sounds weird.
Maybe a little bit too much background noise coming through the Silvertone in the recording. Okay, yeah, I get it. Well, hey, let's go to our second musical break here, and this is off of your. Okay, so this is your first full length, and only full length that's out right now.
First and only.
Yeah, and it's on Hardly Art Records. What's that?
That I know of.
That you know of? Yeah. There could be more. Yeah. This song's called Blue Star by Sea Pony, and we'll be back in just a moment with more from Jen and Danny from the band Sea Pony. See you in a moment. Okay, we are back. That was Blue Star by Sea Pony. And I gotta say, I just became aware of you guys just a little while ago. Because I saw, you know, Built Spill's coming to town for City Arts Festival, and you guys are playing one of the opening slots for Built Spill at the Moore Theater. And I was like, man, who are these guys? And so checked you out and love it. I mean, what would you guys consider your music to be?
Excuse me. Soft rock, kind of.
Soft rock?
Kid friendly or adult contemporary.
What do you call
Kenny
Roy
G
Orbison?
Style?
Huh?
What do you call Roy Orbison or like Everly Brothers stuff? Just oldies?
I don't know. See, I don't know, and that's why I wanted to ask you guys.
Because it used to be like rock and roll, but now it's not really rock.
It's rock and roll. It's a subgenre of rock and roll.
But would you consider it like shoegaze?
Okay. It's got some shoegaze aspects to it.
Yeah.
and it has probably more shoegaze than rock and roll. Half? Wait.
This is always like a super hard question too. So sorry to put you on the spot.
I think our drummer John said twee-gaze dream pop.
Twee-gaze dream pop.
Once.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of makes sense, but it sounds a little pretentious.
So what would you say? I mean, you've heard it. It's probably easier for an outsider to sum it up, maybe.
Yeah. I would say you're probably in kind of the shoegaze. You're probably in like the shoegaze genre, I think. You know, because you've got, there's a lot of reverb on there, on your songs. And true. It always reminds me, like, when I hear music like yours, it always reminds me of, like, the early 60s, like, not quite Beach Boys, but for some reason it always reminds me of, the Beach Party movement. If there was one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That political movement.
right. Yeah. It was very, very political. It was the Beach Party. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of enlightening.
So we've got you guys some coffee, some great coffee from Neptune up there on Greenwood. It's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Allie's Extreme Laser Blend.
Tastes like lasers. Yeah.
Tastes like Allie.
So during the break we were kind of talking about where you guys came from, and you guys are not native to the Seattle area.
Mm-mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Jen, you're from Ohio.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what brought you out this way?
Well, I was looking for a job and then I got a job. Here.
Explain yourself. Come on.
I graduated and...
Where'd you graduate from?
From University of Cincinnati, Bearcats.
Go Bearcats.
And...
Rawr. Is that your...
Yeah, it's like a paw.
When you're at like the football game, everybody goes, rawr.
I've never been to one, so I don't know. Okay.
But I imagine everyone is probably just sitting there feeling sad.
Feeling sad that they're in Cincinnati. No, that was mean. No.
Cincinnati's a nice town.
Yeah.
I can't say that I've ever been. So you got a job, you moved out here.
Yeah. And
the rest is history.
That's my life story.
So what do you do?
Where
do you work?
I work at Callison Architecture.
Really? Are you an architect?
Yes.
So do you design like homes or big commercial properties?
Retail stores.
Okay. And do you like what you do?
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. And then Danny, where do you hail from originally?
Oklahoma. Northeastern.
And what brought you out to Seattle?
Jen got a job.
You
followed
me.
Yeah.
So did you guys know each other?
We were living together.
Oh, okay.
Before we came out here.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
So.
Yeah. And you said too that and we were talking about this a little bit, but you are 31/64 Cherokee.
Cherokee.
Card carrying member.
I don't have it with me.
I want to see this thing though sometime, because we were talking about this. This is actually a true thing. They do issue you guys cards. Like mm-hmm. the tribe issues cards. And has like the what did you call it?
Blood quantum level.
Really?
That's what I call it. But it's the card is called a CDIB.
Yeah.
Certificate of degree of Indian blood.
Yeah.
So
that is crazy to me. They have these cards. Wow. I wonder if they have that, and I don't know. I forgot your answer. But do they have those for other tribes? Do you know?
I don't know. I think that they probably do.
Yeah.
But I've never seen any anyone else's from another tribe.
Yeah. God, I wish I could go back and meet with some of my friends from Suquamish tribe and see if they have their blood quantum levels.
I'm going to see if my friend Kurt's online. I'll ask him. He's Navajo.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So while you're doing that, me and Jen are going to talk.
Okay.
So you went to school to be an architect.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Was it always something that you were interested in, like just buildings and stuff like that, or was it something like you took a general ed requirement class and you're just like, oh, I kind of like this?
No, well, I actually I didn't go to school after high school because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Right.
And I moved to Portland, and then I heard about some people I knew that went to this program in Cincinnati where you can get internships in other cities.
Oh, okay.
And I was feeling antsy, and I was like, oh, I want to get a school, and then I'll get to travel every other quarter.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just did it because of that.
And did it work out that way too? You got to go around every quarter to a different city.
Yeah. It was really fun. But yeah, I've never really wanted to be an architect or anything, but I was like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So I tried it and I really liked it.
Yeah. And you still enjoy what you do?
I do. Yeah. Most
and it leaves time. It leaves enough of I don't know, freedom to play music on the side and do this thing too, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And you're Danny, you're talking about actually trying to go back to school.
Yeah, I want to because you can't. Well, I couldn't get a job. I have a bachelor's.
Yeah.
And it's not good enough. You need a lot of experience. Well, these days.
What do you have your bachelor's in?
Environmental science.
Oh, really? Okay.
So everything was master's or doctorate, 5 years experience.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when we started making that, whenever we could, had the opportunity to make an album, I kind of stopped looking.
Right. Are you guys, you know, making enough money with the band right now to support a life without a job or?
No.
Maybe if we all lived in
a cardboard box.
Yeah. Together.
Eight potatoes.
Right. But so let's get back. Sorry for the sidetrack there, but let's get back to talking about your guys' music and how this kind of evolved. I mean, we were talking a little bit before about pigeonholing the sound, you know, whether it be shoegaze or twee Euro pop or whatever your drummer likes to call it.
Adult contemporary,
yeah. You know, you're on the same Billboard charts as Kenny G, right? Yeah,
which is a good place to be,
right? Yeah. I guess if you're on the Billboard charts, that's probably a good spot. But so, how did you guys? Have you always played that type of music, or was this more of you guys got together and this is what clicked?
Let me think.
Well,
Dinner. I remember.
You mean our whole lives, or?
Well, I mean, just before you guys, because you said, Jen, that you had been in a couple other bands, and Danny, you had been in a couple other bands before this one too. Were you always playing this style of music, or was this new to Sea Pony? Oh, and there goes the beer all over
spilled a beer.
My fucking computer. So, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that I haven't spilled beer on this thing yet until now. But, yeah, it still works, so that's fine. So back to what you guys were saying.
I think we figured it out. We haven't sounded like this before.
Okay, this is the first time that you've really played, this style of music.
Yeah.
Was it a conscious decision, or was it something that just kind of clicked when you guys all got together?
We wanted to to have songs that we could play and it would sound like those songs. Because we did make up some stuff before, and we would try to play it, and it was hard to recreate. But we just wanted to, you know, use chords and lead guitar. Because it sounds, it's easy to make it sound good. And that's why, because we were lazy.
Well, I think it sounds really good, and I'm lazy as well, so I totally get that.
Cool.
But yeah, I think you know, it sounds really good, and I can't wait to hopefully hear the full album, because all I've heard so far is just these three songs, and I am gonna try to get down there to that Built to Spill show. Which, by the way, are you guys like super excited for this or not?
Yes.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not.
No, you're not nervous?
No, because when you play at a nice place, they take care of you, and they have professional sound people. And
yeah.
That sounds really good.
So you have less to worry about.
Yeah, yeah. Have you guys ever played a venue as big as the Moore Theater before?
We play bigger.
Key Arena.
Yeah. It's a Coma Dome.
One of these days, we're going to rock the dome. We played the Croc, and then we played the Echoplex. I mean, they're not nearly as... are the biggest kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that the biggest thing?
I think Echoplex is the biggest.
Mm. Yeah. Good show?
Yeah.
We played the Craft Spells. They're from here, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
They're cool.
Excellent. Well, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of this album. I think it's as far as I've heard, it's awesome, and you guys are doing great things. So thank you very much for coming on the show and witnessing my first beer accident.
All right.
On my computer.
Spill some more beer on stuff.
Yeah, right. Pour one out for your homies.
On your computer.
Jesus. I hope this thing still works. I hope it like turns back on. What I'm worried about is like when I turn it off and try to clean the rest of the beer off, that it will actually turn back on. So we'll see.
I think it'll be fine.
We may have to have you guys back if this didn't record. So let's plug all of your wares here. Where can we find you on the web? What's coming up?
Google Sea Pony.
We got a Facebook, Sea Pony Band, and
you got a Bandcamp site.
Bandcamp is Bandcamp. It's kind of like I like that better than anything else.
Yeah.
And seapony.bandcamp.com.
Perfect. And at hardlyart.com, you can check it out there too. And then you got this Moore Theater show coming up on October 21st, playing with Built to Spill and Disco Doom. Uh-huh. And Sea Pony.
Disco Doom.
At the Moore Theater. That's going to be a great show.
Disco Doom sounds really cool, too.
I haven't heard them before.
They're, I think they're Swedish, I believe. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, just two of them. And,
like a two-piece? Is it like electronic, or is it just like...
No.
Just a raw...
No disco rock about it. It was like... yeah, you just got to have to hear it.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'll check that out. And then October 22nd, the next day, at the Jewel Box Theater here in Seattle. And then November 20th at Chop Suey.
Mm-hmm.
So cool, man. You guys are doing good things.
We're trying.
Looking forward to the future.
Try, I guess.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much. We're going to go out today with this song from Go With Me, the album Go With Me on Hardly Art Records, Where We Go. This is Sea Pony, and we'll be back next week with Aaron Mason and Ben Parsons of the Grapes of Rad podcast. They're going to be joining me again. We're going to be switching it up a little bit. The next two shows, we don't have any musicians coming on. It's just weird people. Weird people. Weirdos. As I like to call them. Yes. So stay tuned for that. Next week, we'll be back with the Grapes of Rad. And until then, have a great week, everybody.